Welcome to the Dacus Report, hosted by Pacific Justice Institute founder and president Brad Dacus. For 25 years, PJI has counseled, represented, and defended people whose religious freedoms, parental rights, or sanctity of life have been obstructed or violated, all free of charge. We leave no one behind and level the playing field for Americans as they are subjected to the tyranny of the powerful. Now, here's Brad Dacus.
Welcome to the Dacus Report. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Brad Dacus, president of the Pacific Justice Institute. On today's show, we're going to talk about a number of cases impacting your freedoms and your liberties. And to help me do that, I'd like to first bring on the program our attorney who heads up our office in Maryland, Lorna Henry. Thank you for joining us, Lorna.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you on the program. I know you're really busy there in Maryland, and which I can understand. Maryland is a very challenging place. It's near the nation's capital, and it's also not known for being the most pro-religious freedom, pro-parent right, sanctity of life kind of a state. So I know you've got a number of issues that you're dealing with there. I'd like to start off, before we talk about some of the just really serious cases that you're dealing with regarding some of these vaccine mandates, I'd like to first just touch on something really new that you just got involved in. It's dealing with a school board member. What happened roughly?
Okay, so PJI was recently contacted by a school board member who is being faced with being removed from her local school board. And this is not the first time she has faced this issue. She was newly elected about a year and a half ago. She's a devout Christian, and she was overwhelmingly elected by her district. But she is vocal about her beliefs. And about a year ago, she posted something on her Facebook page. It was her own first personal Facebook page. It's quoting a scripture about pride. It was Proverbs 16, verse 18. And someone filed charges against her for that, to have her removed. But the State Board of Education said, no, this does not amount to misconduct. And now a year later, there's another attempt to remove her. So we will be representing her. And we are representing her at this time.
Wow. That's so important. I know we at Pacific Justice Institute have defended school board members in the past. I know of a gentleman, Chad Green, who was a school board member in the McKinney School District, just north of Dallas, Texas. And he, you know, you think that's a really, you know, great community, Bible-believing, conservative, McKinney, Texas. Oh, no. This school board, all the school board members except Chad, are liberal puppets of the teachers union, putting in radical, outrageous, ungodly, wicked, evil material into the library, the curriculum. They should be ashamed of themselves. And I'm just hoping that so they attacked Chad Green. They had censored. They were trying to get him removed. We stepped in. We represented him once, represented him twice, successfully, I might add. And now I'm just hoping that he will be successful in helping to get other people like him to take the places of those political hacks that and puppets of the teachers union there in McKinney, Texas. So many parents there, they say, oh, it's a great school district. Oh, it's McKinney. It's got to be good. Oh, no. With the exception of Chad Green, they all should be booted out. And so when I hear about this, like your situation, it just reminds me of what we had to deal with recently with another school board member in the state of Texas. This school board member, she's a committed Christian, I understand. The school district is there in Maryland. I don't know if you can say the name of the school district yet or not, but I'll respect that. I know it's in its early stages. So, but we do go to bat for school board members, and it's just outrageous. They went in and looked at her personal Facebook and about her quoting a scripture, and they wanted her removed because it said something about pride, like pride comes before a fall or destruction or something like that.
Yes, and there were some other language. She said pride turns angels into demons, and she was expressing her interpretation of the scripture. And the charges were filed with the State Board of Education, and the standard is that there is that in order to remove a school board member is that there's some sort of misconduct. There's a couple of other standards which her actions did not rise to that level. And since then, she has told me that she's gotten other messages online, just being very hateful toward her. And so we believe these most recent charges are motivated by some sort of hatred or hostility toward her Christian stance. Yeah. And so we're going to fight for her.
Yeah, the teachers union hate Christians. Clear cut. They hate and despise Christians. And that's why we need to make sure that they're not the ones sitting on school boards, but instead you have moms and dads sitting on school boards instead, people like this person that we're representing. You know, what she said was actually true. I mean, Satan, Lucifer, it was pride. His desire to be like God, his own pride. That's what caused he's an angel, to become, well, not just a demon, to be Satan in rebellion against God. That's what Scripture talks about. But it does the same with human beings. When we take on our pride, we create a barrier between us and the Lord, and that pride can cause us to not think clearly, to not see things clearly. I've seen Christians who are, sort of become proud because they're a professor, and then they have sort of this elitist attitude, and they don't see common sense. They can't see a biblical righteous worldview because that pride blocks them. So hats off to her, and truth hurts, but I hope she keeps sharing truth, and as long as she does, I know we at PJI stand ready to defend her without charge. So thank you for the work you're doing for her. Now let's shift, if we may, to what's happening with regards to a nursing student, or what's happened regarding a nursing student at Johns Hopkins University School of Nursing. What took place there? And then we'll talk about how it gets got resolved. I guess it's it is Johns Hopkins. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So what happened there?
So this student contacted Pacific Justice Institute after she had applied to Johns Hopkins School of Nursing. She was admitted into the School of Nursing, but she was not allowed to enroll due to her decision not to take the COVID vaccine. And so, specifically, she had signed all her pre-enrollment papers, made the deposit. The only requirement that she didn't meet was their vaccination requirement, which was a surprise to her, given that the university and Johns Hopkins Hospital, they both have mandatory COVID policies, but they both also allow requests for religious exemptions. So she thought she would be able to submit a request for a religious exemption to the nursing school, to their nursing school, and she was denied that opportunity. And this is not uncommon for some nursing schools across the country. PJI has had several cases where other nursing students were denied the opportunity to request a religious accommodation. We stepped in and we were able to get that fixed. Okay. So in this particular case, after she had personally tried to reach out to several administrators in the School of Nursing and she was denied time after time, she contacted PJI. We didn't have to file a lawsuit, thankfully, but we did submit a very lengthy letter explaining why we believe it's in Hopkins' best interest to allow her to request a religious exemption. And we also filed a complaint with Hopkins' Office of Institutional Equity, alleging that they were discriminating against her on religious grounds.
Okay.
And then they were able to accept her request and approve her.
Okay, let's talk about that. Let's wind back a little here. Let's talk about what we actually argued. Why should they have been required to accommodate her? Why was their treatment of her illegal? I know it was immoral, it was unjustifiable, but what was the legal argument actually that we used in that letter on her defense?
Okay, so first we set the tone, and we explained to Hopkins that their own internal policies prohibited religious discrimination. And they have an equal opportunity policy. They have harassment and discrimination policy, both of which say academic departments cannot discriminate against students on religious grounds. Now, this particular student, although she had not enrolled, she had signed the pre-enrollment papers and she had paid a deposit, and she had contractual rights as a student, which Johns Hopkins had to honor. And so Hopkins breached that contract by not adhering to their own policies, which said that they would exercise good faith efforts to meet a student's religious objections if they were warranted. And in this particular case, because the university and the hospital both allowed religious accommodations, the School of Nursing should have. Not only that, the School of Nursing's exemption policy was very one-sided, and this is the absurdity of it. They would allow accommodations on for medical exemptions, but they said, no, if you have a religious exemption, we won't even consider it.
Now, wait a minute, Normick, you're saying they had no problem with anyone with any kind of a medical exemption at all, no problem at all, but if it's a religious exemption, oh, we're not going to accommodate you. That makes no sense. Because the very fact that they were able to accommodate one group means that they're able to accommodate another group with religious exemption, with religious convictions. I know we've argued that in a number of cases across the country successfully. And yet this double standard, I think, is just very indicative of the bigotry that exists, the anti-Christian bigotry that exists at Johns Hopkins. And they should be ashamed of themselves. What are some of the other points that we argued in that letter in their defense of that nursing student?
Well, and the major issue, in addition to what we already discussed, is that they wouldn't allow a request for an exemption on religious grounds. So it's not even that they would deny it. They didn't even allow a student to submit one to even consider what their situation was.
You're kidding. So they wouldn't even allow her to submit a request. Well, their policy says that they're supposed to make a good faith effort to try to accommodate religious objections. But if they're not even allowing her to make a religious objection, then they've already violated their own policies right there. That's very, very telling of Johns Hopkins. They should be ashamed of themselves. So, all right. So continue on, please.
Okay. And I will make one note, because when we contacted the general counsel's office for the university, which are Johns Hopkins attorneys, and brought to their attention what we were experiencing from the School of Nursing, I do believe they were very receptive, and it was a very quick turnaround to get the situation fixed. So I would say specifically the School of Nursing definitely should be ashamed of itself. The university as a whole, we felt very good about our interaction with them and them fixing the situation.
Good.
So in addition,
I will say this, I'm glad their attorneys did. I think I'm a little biased here, my perspective, but I'm thinking those attorneys were just being good attorneys, realizing that you had them in a corner, you had a strong case, strong arguments, and they were covering the university. That said, maybe the university is more reasonable than the School of Nursing. Lorna, way to go. Keep up the great work with us for the people you're serving there out of our office there in Maryland. We're so glad to have you on our team, and I look forward to our next opportunity to talk.
Did you know that PJI preserves students' rights to share their faith and protects them from indoctrination? We also provide free resources to help promote evangelism within the public schools and educational resources to give parents legal advice for choosing an alternative to public education. Keep current on the educational landscape by signing up for our Legal Insider email newsletter at pji.org. Now, back to the Dacus Report.
Welcome back. You may be listening to this broadcast right now, and you may be an attorney thinking to yourself, wow, I would love to get involved and do that kind of work that Pacific Justice Institute is taking on all across the country. Well, you have an opportunity because we're actually looking to hire more than one new attorney right now. There's several attorneys for positions across the nation that we're trying to fill, not because we've had our attorneys leaving us, but because we're growing and we have more and more cases. We right now have 265 cases in active litigation as I speak right now. That's a record number for us. And we want to make sure everyone gets help. So in order to do that, we need to hire more attorneys, whether it's full-time or part-time. I strongly encourage you to pray about it and to give us a call. I'd love to talk to you about what's involved in not just being an affiliate attorney. That's great if you want to volunteer periodically, pro bono basis, but also if you're interested in becoming actually a part of our staff, our paid staff here at PJI. Just go to our website, pji.org, or you can email us, info@pji.org. Also, if you're not receiving our Legal Insider, our e-newsletter, boy, I strongly recommend you to sign up to get that. It's real easy to do. You just go to our website, pji.org, and request the Legal Insider newsletter. It's right there on the front page. Or if you'd like, you can simply text the three letters, PJI, to the number 71541. That's 71541. When you do that, you'll also have full access, free access, to all of our legal tools that can help equip you, explain your rights and your opportunities to live your faith, share your faith, your rights as a parent, etc. We've got opt-out forms, all available there. Just text PJI to the number 71541. And we'd love to keep you informed as well as empower you to know your rights and be able to exercise your rights. And you know what? We at PJI, we stand here. We're ready to back you. So we give out this information, but we're also willing to back what we say without charge. That should make you feel a little better as we face a lot of challenges growing in our nation. I'd now like to bring onto the show an attorney, Dave Peters. He heads up our office there in Detroit. He also, by the way, folks, went to medical school. He's a very bright, talented attorney. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thanks so much for having me, Brad. I had a comment on your plug asking for attorneys. You know, I've been here for almost 4 years. We have 30 attorneys. I think only one person has left in that time, and she went to have a baby. And I saw her. She was in the staff meeting last week holding her baby. It was the coolest thing. So,
yeah,
this is a great place to work. Believe me.
Yeah. I agree. I'm a little biased, but I agree. When you have people with not leaving, that says a lot. It really does. And we have a great family of attorneys, different skills, abilities, backgrounds. Like I just highlighted your unique background, for example. But working together as a team collectively so that no matter how many years of experience they have, no matter what their expertise, collectively, we have a very, very powerful team serving each other, helping each other, and in so doing, helping the clients in the best way possible. In fact, I know you're in Detroit. I'm going to be in Detroit in a couple days attending the People's Convention being put on by Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk. We're going to have a definite presence there. I have a number of media interviews scheduled. And hopefully we'll be able to connect while I'm there. So I don't know if my staff is connected with you on that, but that's a little side note. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be running a booth.
Okay, good.
I'll be running a booth, and I'll see you there.
Okay, great, great. There's so much going on. I have a hard time keeping track of things, so I look forward to seeing you. Now, what are you working on right now? I know you're working on a lot of things right now, but I understand you're one of the things that you've been engaged in is dealing with an abortion clinic. What's going on with that case?
Well, Brad, as you know, I've been on the show a few times, and we talk about various cases that I've been involved in. I want to talk about the one case now. And this is a case that's been on my mind for almost a year now. We're getting ready for trial in August. August 6th is the trial. And you may have read about this case in the newspapers, maybe not this specific case, but one like it. We, Pacific Justice Institute, is representing a pastor who was peacefully protesting in front of an abortion clinic in 2020. He is being charged under the FACE Act, which is we'll talk about that. That is the Freedom of Access to Clinics Entrances. He's looking at a year in prison right now for violating the FACE Act. But that was not enough for the Biden people. He is now charged, and seven other people are charged in Detroit with conspiracy, in addition to the FACE Act, blockading or obstructing an abortion clinic, which carries 1 year in prison. They are facing 11 years in prison for an obscure statute. It's 18 U.S.C. 241, and it is conspiracy to violate rights. This carries an 11-year prison sentence, and I don't even know how to deal with it, and I had a lot of trouble when I first got the case. How am I going to do this trial? How am I going to represent these people and not break down?
Oh.
Peacefully protesting, Brad.
Yeah.
And they're looking at 11 years in prison.
Yeah. I know you have the competency to do it, but,
oh, yeah.
But just emotionally, just to recognize the enormity of the injustice can be just overwhelming. And we're looking once again, and I'm going to make this really clear. This is the Biden administration. That's who's behind this. They are the ones on this evil witch hunt to go after this pastor who, not for selfish reasons, for loving reasons, compassionate reasons, was peacefully protesting. And for that, he's looking at 11 years, potentially along with seven others, because this new charge of conspiracy to violate civil rights. I mean, we see such a double standard here. We just saw in the news where these radical pro-Hamas, pro-quote Palestinian demonstrators were not peacefully, but violently demonstrating. Not once, but again, again, and again, and again, spray painting our monuments, Dave, attacking the symbols of freedom and liberty in our country. And I didn't even see them getting arrested, much less prosecuted. And here we have this pastor benevolently, lovingly, peacefully demonstrating. And the Biden folks, they want to put these Christians, they want to attack them, but let the pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist thugs get away with murder, if you will. I find that just, I like you, shocking and so disappointing and so compelling for us to address this at the ballot box this November.
It's absolutely essential that we vote, and we vote hard, because if we don't vote right this time, they keep talking about Trump's going to round up his political opponents. Biden is rounding up his political opponents. And I want to offer a comparison here, Brad, because we have a peaceful protester who was protesting to save the life of a baby. He wasn't protesting to kill the Jews or any of the other protests you've seen recently. He's just trying to save the life of a baby. And when we compare that action, 11 years in prison, nonviolent, we can compare it to, for example, the summer of 2020. You remember the summer of love? We had, I believe, 54 of our largest cities were burned to the ground. There was almost no arrests during all of this. The police did almost nothing to stop the carnage. In May of 2020, Black Lives Matter attacked the White House. They injured dozens of Secret Service agents. They blockaded the White House. They burned down St. John's Church across from the White House. And then they laughed about it. Then they said Bunker Donnie was forced to evacuate to the bunker. They were caterwauling about that for months. Not a single one of those protesters was charged, even though dozens of Secret Service agents were injured. They burned down entire cities. They caused billions in damage. They killed people. Almost no charges were ever brought, even for violent protesters. We had pro-Hamas protesters.
Yeah, because the Department of Justice,
much less sentenced.
Because the Biden administration's Department of Justice are thugs. They're corrupt, they're tyrannical, and they're not enforcing the law to protect everyone. They are like a political hack group of injustice, like the KGB, the SS, something that cannot be counted on for fair and equal treatment and protection under the law. They're a political arm of the Biden administration, and it is a travesty, an outright travesty. It definitely changes things. And I don't keep up the good work, Dave. I look forward to seeing you there in Detroit in a couple of days at the Turning Point USA gathering. And
awesome.
God bless you. Thanks for being on the show.
We would love the opportunity to continue to serve you. Just visit pji.org and click the Legal Insider button to sign up for our email newsletter. At PJI, we help individual employees, employers, business owners, pastors, students, citizens of every stripe through our practical resources, counsel, representation, and defense, all free of charge at pji.org. PJI is an island of stability and assurance in our ever-churning sea of legal and societal chaos. We are here for you.
So folks, just remember, it's our God-given freedoms we're talking about. Now, let's choose to keep them. I'm Brad Dacus, president of the Pacific Justice Institute. Let's continue the fight for your freedoms.